Finally, agreement on tanks for Ukraine. But just what does that cost? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. President Zelensky thanked global leaders after agreement was finally found on sending American, British and German tanks to Ukraine. But Mr. Zelensky said they needed to be delivered quickly. So just how realistic is that and costly? Hey, Mr. Bretton Gordon is a former commander of the British Army's Royal Tank Regiment.
Well, I think it's hugely significant and could potentially tip the balance in this war that has become very static, very entrenched, almost like First World War trench warfare. These tanks from Germany and the US and the UK, I think, could potentially give the Ukrainians the ability to what we call maneuver again, get behind the static Russian forces, cut off their supply lines, and ultimately defeat them and get them out of Ukraine. So this is a very, very big step forward.
President Zelensky did appeal to Western leaders for these deliveries to be speedy. I mean, how realistic is that?
Well, I'm absolutely behind the president in this case. We need to get them moving. And I think there's quite a lot of hot air being spoken by, I suppose, some of my fellow experts about how quickly this can happen. I appreciate the American Abrahams could take a while, because if they've got to be manufactured or if they've got to come over from the States, you know, that could be a long time. But when they eventually come, they'll be really welcome. But in the short term, there are thousands of Leopard 2 tanks in NATO countries in Europe that should be pretty much ready to go. So physically getting those Leopards and also the Challenger 2s from the UK won't take long. We're talking days, not weeks. The challenge is training the Ukrainian tank crews to use them. The Leopard 2 in particular is very simple to use. It was designed so that young conscripts could almost get in there and start using them after a bit of training. The logistics support, tanks would move to Ukraine on railways, which in Europe are incredibly efficient. So again, I don't see any issues there. The huge amounts of diesel they would use, again, because Ukraine is fighting in Ukraine and has access to domestic fuel supplies. Again, I don't think that's a big problem, or supplying them with ammunition. So I think the Leopard tanks could get there pretty quickly. One accepts that the American Abrahams might take a bit longer.
One of the concerns, Hamish, has been, particularly in Germany, hasn't it, the cost of kind of replacing these tanks, and also what happens in terms of supplying them with parts and all that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, that is a challenge, and one accepts that. But, you know, war is a very, very expensive business.
I mean, put people in the picture. How much does a Leopard tank cost?
It's probably somewhere between, you know, $5 to $10 million, that sort of figure. Keeping them supplied, certainly in the British military, what we do is something dreadful called cannibalism, where you actually take bits off other tanks to keep those in the front line moving. The fact that there are so many Leopard tanks across Europe, I think the spares issue can be overcome. You know, it would take a while to ramp up the industry, start producing them. But a lot of the parts on Leopard 2 are sort of plug and play. If there's something wrong with the engine, you whip it out and put a new one in. But these Leopards, you know, classic German engineering, they are very effective and very, very reliable.
And in terms of that ramp up, I guess there needs to be agreement about who funds that. It can't just fall on one country to do it themselves.
I would have thought so. I mean, the International Fund for Ukraine and the coalition supporting them, you know, one thing there doesn't seem to be a shortage of is sort of finance to be able to put money into these sort of things. You know, the challenge hitherto is actually people releasing some of their high-tech equipment like these Leopard 2s. So, yeah, it's going to be costly, but, you know, the war is incredibly costly. And the sooner we get it over, of course, you know, the costs will start diminishing. And that's why it's so important to get these tanks to Ukraine as quickly as possible.
Hey, Mr. Bretton Gordon, former commander of Britain's Royal Tank Regiment. Thank you very much for speaking to us.
Pleasure.
Let's check in on the numbers now. Positive morning in Europe. London, Frankfurt, Paris all up between 0.2%, 0.6%. They've been driven on by some surprise positive earnings. Spain's giant banking group Sabadell up 8%. Swedish tech firm Nokia opened up just over 5%. Now, as we told you on Monday, millions of Pakistanis have been plunged into darkness and left without power this week after a major failure of the country's national grid. While it's now mostly back up and running, fears remain that more cuts could be around the corner, as the BBC's Pakistan correspondent Caroline Davis explains.
The lights are back on in Pakistan, for the most part. I'm walking through the printing press market in Rawalpindi. Normally you'd be able to hear all of the whir of machinery, but instead, they're stopped. All the lights are out, so it's almost entirely dark. And that is because the electricity here still hasn't stabilised. Sitting in the dark with only his phone for light, I speak to Mohammed Amir, who runs one of the businesses here.
Sometimes the power comes back after 1 hour, sometimes two. It's impossible to carry on our work. We are trying to explain to our clients about why the orders are so delayed.
Monday's power cuts saw millions lose their energy from Karachi to Peshawar. Speaking to local media, the energy minister said as the country's demand for power was lower in the winter than the summer, the power generation systems were turned off overnight. When they were turned on in the morning, a fault meant that the system shut down. Some places have said that it's still been patchy. Many in Pakistan are used to the power going down. Load shedding, where electricity to some areas is temporarily reduced in order to prevent the failure of the entire system, is common. Bigger industries, hospitals, airports and some homes have their own generators, which can run for anything from a few hours to a few days. But smaller businesses often suffer.
The power breakdown in Pakistan was a national loss.
Mohammed Tariq Yusuf is the president of the Chamber of Commerce and Industries in Karachi.
As far as Karachi is concerned, we have lost 1.5 million workers, full-day job, without any yield. And we think that we should be very careful in future about the prevention of such happenings.
That's the BBC's Caroline Davis reporting there. Now, here's one for you if you're about to jump on your bike and get commuting this morning. The Dutch city of Amsterdam is opening a new $65 million bike parking facility. Situated at the central station, it's capable of holding up to 7,000 bikes in the cycling mad nation and has a very unique feature. It's located entirely below sea level, as the BBC's Anna Holligan reports.
In a nation home to more bikes than people, where 30% of passengers pedal to the station to catch their train, there simply wasn't enough space to store all the bikes above ground, so they found a solution down below. Engineers built dams to stop water from Amsterdam Harbour from flowing into this basin. The sealed-off section was pumped dry. Layers of sand were dredged up. The edges were reinforced with concrete walls. The floor was laid and a labyrinth of columns were planted to support the roof. The water was released and this bike parking lot was fully submerged.
That's Anna Holligan reporting there. And you've been listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.